Welcome back. Join us now for more Red Barn Radio, all recorded live from the Performance Hall at Arts Place in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. This week, it's the sound of Tony Holt and the Wildwood Valley Boys.
I was born in a tumble-down shack, the youngest boy of a mighty poor man. I wore hand-me-downs upon my back, and I picked cotton in the bottom land. And just 15, I run away from home, wearing my daddy's only pair of shoes. Years have passed and still I roam. I'm never gonna lose these good time blues.
These good time blues won't let me be. These good time blues are a part of me.
Hard, I broke down and cried. Said we thought that you might want to know that your daddy and your mama, they both have died. Well, I can't go back cause I'm too ashamed. They can see me coming just like bad news. I ain't got a nickel, not a penny to my name, but I've had my share of these good time blues.
These good time blues won't let me be. These good time blues are a part of me. These good time blues won't let me be. These good time good time blues won't let me be. These good time blues are part of me.
My understanding, Lynn, is that you were sort of the last of this group to sort of come into the bluegrass fold.
Yes.
Yeah. What? what?
Well, I played out a little bit.
Lynn Mazenberger.
But I haven't played very long. I was middle of my life before I started playing music, and I had kind of give up, kind of got discouraged. And Brian over here on the banjo, he's my friend from back home, and he kept kind of after me until I back into it.
So up until the time when you sort of really got back into it, what kind of stuff were you doing before that?
I was just working.
Music was always sort of tugging at you, but you weren't sure what to do with it?
Sometimes you just want to play all the time, and sometimes when you get, it's hard to explain, sometimes you just don't want to look at it, especially if you get discouraged about something, or maybe just the music isn't going the way you want it to, or kind of a mood, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think it's something that a lot of people experience with music, and that they know it's important to them, but at the same time, not quite sure where to go with it.
Yeah, I didn't touch it for a while, 2 or 3 years.
It feel good to come back to it and to get playing with the band? And
yeah, I like playing with this band. I like the original music.
How did you and Brian meet?
Through music.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And from the same hometown?
He's from Ohio. I'm from Indiana, but he lives where I live now.
Hey, Brian, how'd you hook up with these guys?
Music around home's kind of like a big community.
Brian Lever.
There's actually in Jake's hometown, they have a jamboree once a month. I met Tony over there, found out he was looking for a banjo player, and I had just recently left Dale Ann Bradley. I played with her for about a year. Went back to working some straight jobs for a while and kind of decided I didn't want to do that. And then I joined Tony and got two other straight jobs while I'm playing with Tony. But it's worked out well. Get to play a lot of original music and just a chance to get to play with Aubrey's been cool for me. I've got a big poster up my house from a music festival in Clay's Park, Ohio. I remember I was a little kid standing in line to get his autograph, so it's kind of weird for me to actually be up here playing with him.
No kidding.
I've been around music pretty much all my life. My dad was a real good fiddle player. He used to play, WVA Jamboree in Wheeling, West Virginia. And real good fiddle player, and he was real patient with me when I was trying to learn.
I was just a lad of 17. Life was full of fun. I killed a man for just a thrill. Shot him with my gun. They put me in this cold, dark cell. The judge said, take his life.
Be honest with you, when I moved to Indiana from New Jersey, I was managing a ag store at the time. And when I left New Jersey, I mean, there was just essentially no bluegrass scene, or at least in the area I was in. So I just all but quit playing music. And actually, I have a neighbor, he found out I played and started dragging me around all this stuff. And I got kind of fired up again. So like I say, it's kind of like almost like a musical family. Everybody, like especially kids, you see them out at a festival or whatever, I mean, everybody's just fired up to get them started and help them, teach them anything they can. I mean, pretty much any level you're at, you're going to find somebody to pick with, and it's a great thing. So,
well, that's I think what we find so great about the culture of this particular kind of music, you know, is that you have that.
It's that, definitely family oriented.
So. Yeah. Jake, tell us how you happened to come into this group of players.
Well,
the whole story.
The whole story. Well, in the beginning,
Jake Brown.
Well, Tony had a kind of a temporary mandolin player, I guess, for a while. And Brian, I was friends with Brian beforehand, and he had told me, you know, that the position was pretty much open. And yeah, I mean, I was in high school and hadn't really had a job before, and I wasn't sure with music at this level, being able to handle the responsibilities of, you know, making sure that you learn your tunes the way they're supposed to be done, you know, taking some instruction and some different tips from, you know, Tony as a band leader, you know, stepping up and, you know, taking it that seriously. Wasn't sure if I wanted to or if I was going to be able to, but I went ahead and took the step, like you said, kind of pushed myself out there. And you know, it turned out to be a lot more feasible than I at first thought it might be.
Have you had some experiences where you auditioned and it didn't go particularly well, or you finished the audition and you went, oh man?
Well, the only real audition that I've had was with Tony, and I didn't think it went real well. You know, he liked what I was doing already, but he was willing to teach me a lot. And I mean, he had to, because he knew I could play the mandolin parts, but the singing part was what we had to work on. And
well, when we had him fill in there for mandolin there one time, and we knew he could pick already. He can pick just about anything, little squirrel. But he was already doing a fine job singing. We just, you know, kind of fine-tuned him in on a few things. We had a couple practices there at the house just singing. But he's done fine, and he's doing better all the time. I'm just glad to have him with us. All right, we're going to get Jake up here now and do a little instrumental. He does a good job on this one. We'll take it around once. Daybreak to Dixie.
It's a movie, Gone with the Wind, for the first time in 1974, I think it was, and it hit me real hard. It lived up to everything I'd ever heard about it, and the next day I wrote this song. The 23 years we were on the road as the boys from Indiana, it was our most requested tune, one called Atlanta is Burning.
So weak.
Aubrey, we know you write songs. You're also writing another story right now, writing a book?
Yeah, it's about my Uncle Harley. He was, all the years, he was one of the original boys from Indiana as we traveled down the roads. And in fact, he was only about 2.5 years older than me, and we're more like brothers than uncle and nephew, and such a funny guy.
Can you recount maybe a little story anecdote about him? Help us get to know him a little bit.
He loved life. He lived every minute of each day. My brother Tom said at his funeral that he treated you the same whether you owned $1 million or whether you owed $1 million. He would treat you the same, and that's just the way he was. A lot of my memories are even from when we were little kids up to the time, all the time we traveled on the bus, he would keep everybody laughing usually. That was one of his favorite sayings, that's a dandy, and that's just what he was, a dandy.
That's what we heard out here. For folks maybe who don't know about the boys from Indiana, can you tell us a little bit of history?
Yeah, well, Harley and I were playing country music, well, and bluegrass. They didn't call it bluegrass back then, but back in the early 50s, when I was 15 years old, we'd go in a bar down close to home there. They would let us in because we could play and sing. We had a couple other musicians that played with us, and we'd do all the latest songs, you know, that we heard on the radio. And I think about the late 50s, I went in the Navy, and when I came out, we started playing bluegrass more than the country, and the early 70s decided to record some as a boys from Indiana. And Paul Mullins was a DJ up in Middletown, Ohio, and he would have us come over and play a remote show that he would have out of the car lot or something, you know. And he would call us, and if he couldn't get a hold of us, he knew we were listening to his radio show in the afternoon. So he would say, has anybody seen that wild bunch of boys from Indiana have them come over and we got to play a remote tonight? Well, that's where the name came from.
The name for Wild Valley Boys, where's that name
from? There's my mom and dad's old farm. They called it Wildwood. And there's a little valley back there that I used to go off of after we got off of some of our long trips. I would go back there to unwind a little bit. And I wrote that song one evening while I was back there. And, that was a song that I think we recorded before we quit playing. It was called Wildwood Valley.
Well, Aubrey, it's just it's great to meet you, Tony.
Now here I sit on my cold, lonely bed. My eyes are sunk back in my feverish head. The black dust has taken my last dying breath. But the wine's kept my family from starving to death.
One eye. kept my family from starving to death. Yes, the mines kept my family from starving to death.
Thank you.
Back in the early 50s, in my early teen years, we lived way back a creek, up a holler. We had a real long lane to walk out of if we ever went anywhere. We did have a car, but my dad worked off in another state, and he had to have the car for his work. But that didn't stop Mom from taking us kids to church on Sunday morning. We'd get up bright and early and get our hair all slicked down. We'd walk out the lane to meet the church bus. Some of my fondest memories come from that time of my life. Walking out that lane to meet the bus. We'd go on to church and they'd bring us back, and we did have some good times. That's what this song is about. It's one called Teach Me of Jesus. I remember church on Sunday morning, all dressed up and walking down the lane. I remember Mama's office singing, voice again. The preacher shouted out the fire and brimstone with a voice like thunder from above, and tears were in his eyes as he pleaded, won't you come and share my Savior's love?
Teach me of Jesus, country preacher, tell it to me straight and tell it hard. Let me hear shout the gospel, let me hear the word of the Lord. I
astray. Go throughout the land and spread the gospel. Get the people on their knees to pray.
Teach me of Jesus, country preacher.
Radio's thanks goes to Tony, Aubrey, Jake, Brian, also Lynn, for their performance recorded live from the heart of the bluegrass. Brad Becker is our associate producer and the host of this week's show. Red Barn Radio was produced and directed by Ed Commons. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. You can attend a Red Barn Radio concert in person. You'll find performance dates and times at redbarnradio.com. Red Barn Radio has been brought to you with the financial support of LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau, showcasing the premier places to experience in central Kentucky. Visit Lex.com. We're more than just bluegrass. Has been brought to you with the generous hospitality of LexArts and the Red Barn Group, specialists in museum research and audiovisual production. Red Barn Radio is a production of Red Barn Radio, LLC.